Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, a short show. We're just going to prepare for tonight's debate. I will share my thoughts, a couple of news items also, nothing very important. But we have a debate at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It's sent to seems to have an approach with this idea of talking about moral nihilism. No problem, I can talk about it, although it's not the it's not a super fascinating subject because it's very technical, and most people, even the people engaging in those debates and the people listening to those debates, they don't quite understand the typical, as Naberius points out in before, he says, you can't say that murder is wrong, you're a nihilist. That's the level at which the discussion operates, unfortunately, and anyone who is enlightened with some form of objective knowledge about morality understands that this is not even true. It's not even a good counter. Committing to moral nihilism doesn't even change anything in your life, really. You can just like committing to the idea that vanilla ice cream is better than chocolate ice cream doesn't commit you, and knowing that this idea, that this preference for vanilla ice cream is subjective, doesn't mean you can't have it, doesn't mean you can't have that subjective preference, but it's subjective, it depends on your preferences, and your preferences have probably evolved to make you that way. The same is true of morality, and I call this moral nihilism. That is, morality is not subject to objective grounding for standards, preferences, and what is better or not better than something else. So there is no objective grounding, there is no way of resolving moral conflicts in an objective way, so we are down to just people act in whatever ways they have evolved to act, and part of these actions, part of the way we have evolved is to somehow walk and yell and scream to other people that morality exists. Not that we live by any moral code, by the way, because if we lived by any moral code, the leftists who are all about reducing harm and increasing the well-being of conscious creatures, they would be just giving away their paychecks to Africans. Do you realize how much hunger you can resolve with $5? And yet, no one gives a shit. No one will live by their principle. So we are evidently a species that has evolved to have moral principles, but not follow them. So what do you want? I mean, and it's not the fact that we are this way doesn't even change moral nihilism. Moral nihilism would remain true even in a society that has actual principles and follows them. Because that following of principles would also be a subjective preference. And it will be grounded, perhaps in that society, we might have evolved to live by our stated standards, but we don't. Lapitop says, if one takes evolution seriously, then the hierarchy of values that orients you and make you able to perceive and act with a hierarchy of priorities is and are being molded by selection to increase the number of copies of those genes that built you and other organisms carrying those same copies. In other words, it's not about maximizing some abstract collective good, it's about the survival, maintenance, and advertising for sex, for example, of the genetic machinery so that said machinery can aid in maximizing the number of copies of those replicators. Absolutely, this can only be the reason why we are the way we are. We are evolutionary creatures, the theory of evolution applies to us, and that's how we became who we are, including our propensity to claim that morality exists. Someone was asking me, will I talk about the moral signal tonight? I may, but I don't know, because I don't know what Synth thinks about morality. I will come into the debate completely blind to his view. But he asked for a debate about moral nihilism. So we'll see. We'll see what he has in mind. It's not one of these debates where I have to read or consult the opponent's opinion, because it's a purely technical, philosophical matter. So I feel confident just going in there, opened. Also, they told me they wanted to make a second tower on the death penalty. I said, you know, death penalty has nothing to do with moral nihilism. But they were like, no, but we want to do it. And I said, by the way, I don't have a strong position on the death penalty. So they said, you can be on defense, it's okay. Synth is going to be against. I said, okay. Yeah, the death penalty. But you know, being a contrarian, of course, I always try to find a way to be the opponent of the other guy in the debate. So I think I found a good argument. An argument that may have just convinced me that the death penalty must, and it's especially important that the death penalty continues today. Here it is. In time past, there were female prisons and male prisons. And this kept the males and females separated, such that if somebody was to be punished for a lifetime in jail, they would also be unable to make babies. They would have no opportunity for a private session for insemination. That was good, because then a lifetime sentence was basically just as eugenic as the death penalty. And as a result, people who are more likely to have criminal behaviors were stuck in a context where they had less babies, they had no babies, and therefore the next generation was improving and reducing the rate of criminal behavior. In current days, there is a new reproductive strategy, which is, you are a male, you dress as a female, you say that you're trans, and you get arrested for a crime, you end up in a female prison. And we have seen already in the news a couple of examples of trans people who ended up inseminating other female prisoners. They ended up having babies from within the jail. I don't know exactly what happens with these babies. I'm guessing they get grabbed by the CPS once they're born. But that means something. That means in the new world of LGBT activism and transsexualism becoming more common and society being more open about it and adjusting about it, the death penalty now has a more eugenic effect than imprisonment for life. Because if you get imprisoned for life, you can still make your way into a woman's prison if you claim that you are trans. So I would say the death penalty, although at a time where there was a separation of the sexes in prison, it was not particularly valuable to kill people rather than to put them in jail for a lifetime. We Are the West says, possible rebuttal, why death penalty rather than vasectomy penalty? Yeah, I mean, the thing is, when you start entering in these details, you realize that there is a moral blockade in society about forcing someone to have a surgical operation. But somehow, the death penalty is not considered a surgical operation. I'm sure that you would actually find, if you were to test behaviorally, if you were to present people with the situation and say, how about we vasectomize him against his will? I'm sure there would be more people morally offended by the vasectomy against your will than by the death against your will. Because somehow death escapes the it's kind of a different category in people's mind, and they don't process it morally the same way. Same thing for forced pills, you know. I don't see it happening, although it does exist in the justice system. I don't know if it's forced or perhaps they make some deals. They say, oh, we can release you earlier if you accept to have this operation or if you take these pills. Ariel Suarez says, I've been giving your view on morality a long thought, JF. I cannot see how it is wrong. I can't even think nor have heard of any argument that disproves it. Do you have any idea how much hunger you will create in long term with $5? yes, that is my argument against giving away money. So yeah, moral nihilism is pretty straightforward, and I hesitate at even qualifying this as a meta-ethical position. Because I'm more and more convinced with time and thinking about it that moral nihilism is actually a theoretical truth about systems of beliefs. When you think about it, moral nihilism doesn't really make a statement within the moral sphere. It makes a statement outside the moral sphere. It makes the following statement. Error theory and nihilism broadly take the form of a negative claim about the existence of objective values or properties. So it's simply the recognition that while the existence of planet Earth is an objective fact and it's accessible through empiricism, and we could both agree that planet Earth exists, and we could both coordinate our observations of the world so that we make the same and that we reach the same conclusion. And that conclusion could be said to have been attained by an objective standard, that is, the thing that we both see, planet Earth. In empiricism, there is a third party out there. There is something that comes to prove you right or wrong. There is no such thing in morality. That's the simple position of moral nihilism. There is no equivalent to planet Earth in morality. So what you end up having is you can create fictitious worlds in which moral truths exist. You can imagine a god and say, oh, that god has the property of knowing what's good and wrong. Or you can invoke some preferences in your brain, or you can even use fallacious tactics like astonishment. Oh my god, are you saying that rape is good? No. But that kind of tactic is all you have in morality to convince or not convince other people around you. That is the statement of moral nihilism, a lack of an objective standard, and therefore all of the standards that you hear about all come from people. It comes from people in their mind. And it's not bad. It doesn't, to me, it's the beginning of the discovery of the great world of human morality and how we care so much about it. But to many people, it's a derisive observation, this fact that I just stated. Pineapple Platypotamus says, that's why it doesn't matter to clarify. Our conscience tells us what's right and wrong. Well, if your conscience is telling you what's right and wrong, then moral nihilism is true. You are not an objective standard. You are a subjective being, and your conscience is subjective. Pineapple Platypotamus says, but I'm not with JF on this one. I want another JF win. Well, the win, I don't think that there will be a crushing win tonight, because moral nihilism is not something I care about defending with heart. It's just, to me, if you don't accept moral nihilism, you are deeply deluded. That's all. And you can delude yourself. It's all good. Silver Spider says, what position is Synth taking? Objective morality? I don't know what position he's taking. All I know is he's asked for a debate on moral nihilism. We'll see what's his position. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, you can use the dollar button under the regular chat. It's the right way to support the show. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. Alternatively, you can use the Entropy link in the description below. Doubting Thomas was saying, Jeff, it seems that the left are unknowingly invoking a perception of gender that is not so different than the religious perception of the soul, especially in its physicality. Is this the case, or do I misunderstand them? I think it's one way to phrase it, but it's not the full understanding of what the left is doing with gender. What you are noticing is true, in that the left has been increasingly sloping and smoothing out the boundary between identity and gender, such that the modern left, the modern far left, basically uses the word gender to mean identity. You know, this concept of gender identity, it's as if they had taken the two words and they shuffled it in their brain. So that now you can identify as the gender Wolf-tarian, where you are basically a wolf, or you are a wolf-loving human. Now, there was no place in the word gender for such a diversity of identities. And so it got crammed in, really, by force. The reality is there was already a word for someone who would identify as a wolf, and it was identity. All right, you identify as a wolf, but wolf is not your gender, and Attack Helicopter is not your gender, and Dragon Knight is not your gender. All of it, of course, because when the left opens up a channel of right defense, they want to cram in as much as they can, such that initially there was the homosexual fight for marriage, and suddenly this got integrated to, oh, the modern form, the LGBT community, where lesbian, gay, bi, transsexual. So there's an extension. Why is there an extension? Because that's one of the tactics of advances of the left in society. It's if something already worked, just cram more things in it to reuse the same progressive strategy so that you can argue, well, if we save these people, we should also save these people, right? And it's a never-ending loop. And you can see it with the ridicule of what they did to the term gender. Yes, there is a confusion. Yes, they have introduced basically what were non-gendered identities into the concept of gender. But why do they do this? This is what you have to ask. And the ultimate reason why they do this is that they are engaged in a fight against nature, a fight against the binary of sex. That is the most important thing. That is the hidden goal of the machine that's been put together here. The goal is to contest the stability of family so that people are more isolated and so that everyone becomes eventually dependent on the state. And the state is there to save these people from their lack of a network of family support. That is what they're after. And so it's not random that the identities were all crammed in into gender. It's precisely to make gender as continuous as they could on as many dimensions as they possibly could. So much so that right now the modern gender mega space of leftism basically would be a 70-dimensional space. Talk about intersectionality. I mean, you wouldn't be able to imagine a triangle in that space, because there would be some dimension that you forget. Okay, what about a black transsexual woman? Well, what about Dragonite black transsexual woman? So it's as part of the fight against the binary of sex, which gives the root to what the left falsely perceives as a patriarchy, but which is really a biological necessity of the existence of the family and the sexual dichotomy and the sexual dimorphism of our species. They have been cramming in as much as they could in as much directions as they could. And they've been kind of successful, although I think in the long term, they've been culturally successful. But in the long term, I think their fight against natural order is unsustainable because they forgot to make babies in the process. Society of Order, says Jeff, that and to make politics so disgusting to decent, rational people, they avoid it. Yes, absolutely. Lapitop says it's theoretically possible for a species, maybe on another planet, to evolve to have more than two sexes. Or is it? Ah, well, you can definitely think of a theoretical example where that happens. So I would say physically it's not impossible. However, you would have to think, and no one has been doing this thinking, but I would launch myself tentatively here and hypothetically, and I wouldn't be surprised that if you were to model that kind of species that would have three, four sexes that can actually reproduce, I wouldn't be surprised if you were to find out that nature pushes in either two directions. One, the directions of the binary, like there would be constant evolutionary pressures to bring it down to two sexes. And one of the forces you can think about doing this would be, well, perhaps you get the best of sexual selection from just having two sexes. Perhaps having a third sex is really introducing an exploiter in the system, potentially, so that sex number one, sex number two reproduce together, they do all of the hard work, and sex number three really comes only to pump out the genetic knowledge that you've developed with your sexual selection, and as such may actually be more energetically efficient. Consider all of the crap that we have to go through our life to enact a good sexual selection. It basically includes the entirety of your life. All of the jobs you want to get, the money, the fame you want to attain, all of this is to please a female. And on the other side, everything that females do, from the makeup they put on every morning to literally everything they do, is basically to attract a male. There is a lot of energy that goes wasted into maintaining the system of sexual selection, but the reward is big enough at the end, so we still do it. In a three-sex species, inevitably one of the three sexes would adopt a parasitic strategy onto it, which is, I'm going to let the two others do the hard work, and I'm just going to go drain the genetic knowledge once every 10 generations. So I don't have to go through all this shit of receiving slaps in the face and trying to find a good joke to make this new woman laugh. I'm just gonna do it once every 10 generations. I will be energetically more efficient than them, and I will have just as much genetic knowledge as them because I'm gonna integrate their genome to my sex. That's probably a force that would push it back down to either two. Or, I think there is another direction that a three-sex species could take, which is, well, if you have this precisely this strategy of parasitic drainage, what's the projection to infinity here? Okay, so third sex, only gets sex once every 10 generations, only gets the genetic knowledge and gets away from the sexual selection game. Ultimately, this more energetically efficient species, there's no reason why it wouldn't reduce its involvement until it becomes something else, perhaps a virus-like entity. So you would have two evolutionary directions for a multiple sex species, which is, and it would be very hard to maintain a given number of sexes. I would surmise that they either are driven back to two sexes, or they're driven away to, well, it's viruses everywhere and we don't even call it sex anymore because they got so small that they actually enter through our lungs and they fuck our cells from the inside. So very interesting question, but there's never been a theoretical work, a full theoretical work written about this theoretical question, but I think I just addressed it correctly. I think I could write a book about this. That would be a fun book. The former Wisconsin judge killed in a targeted attack had sentenced the suspect to prison more than 15 years ago, court documents say. So the suspect was found in a basement. He had killed the judge with a gun and he had shot himself. He was still surviving, but with he was in extreme condition, and we have learned today that he is now dead. So I was suspecting that he didn't go to kill a judge for no reason. He probably had an axe to grind against this judge, and we now have the confirmation. The judge had given him a sentence. However, it wasn't a case where he pleaded guilty. So it's surprising. How do you plead guilty and then you're pissed at the judge? Maybe the judge was dismissive of some of his issues. Maybe the judge gave him what he thought was a too severe punishment. He had pleaded guilty to burglary armed with a dangerous weapon, possession of a short-barreled shotgun slash rifle, felony possession of a firearm, and a misdemeanor of carrying a concealed weapon, according to a judgment of conviction from November 10, 2005. He was sentenced to 6 years in prison, followed by 9 years of extended supervision. So basically, this guy spent 6 years in prison, 9 years of extended supervision, and that brings us to about 2020. And then in 2022, he goes to kill the judge who did that to him. That was the story. Kremlin declares land bridge is complete from Western Russia to Donbass to Crimea. So, very good. It's just an officialization of what was actually already true. I mean, Mariupol had been pretty much under Russian control, and the land bridge was all considered under Russian control for a long time. So, but now they are officially declaring it. So I guess the next step is to get the local population of these places to vote for joining the Russian Federation. And then, if attacks on this land bridge were made, then Russia would have the argument of, well, you just attacked Russia. And so that's what I would expect are the next moves here. Lapitop says, why do all animals have one body? Imagine having your sexual partner or something else separated into another body. Lol, this kind of what ants and bees do, though. Yeah, the body boundary isn't as clear as you make it to be. First, we have all sorts of ways to control the bodies of others. We influence people, we try to convince them of IDs. Convince them to act in certain ways. We teach. And yes, as you point out, there are species like the ants and the bees where the body isn't even the body. The body in an ant colony is the ant colony. It's not the body of individual ants. So yes, the boundary is breachable in all sorts of ways. LBRT sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says Senator Scott Wiener from San Francisco is planning to propose a bill to add Drag Queen 101 to the K-12 curriculum. There is no end to what San Francisco is prepared to do. Let them do it, but don't live in San Francisco. Let them crash their own society into the ground. I mean, soon there, I can't imagine that these places will still be populated in 100 years from now. Who's gonna want to live there? Matthew McConaughey has been doing a plea for responsible gun ownership. He was right there at the White House podium, and he made a 20-minute speech because he's born in Uvalde, Texas, where the shooting happened against the children. And he spent the last 2 weeks interacting with the children and of the school and the families of those who have lost the children. And he's been making a very emotional speech, and it was good. It was good, but it was leftism. So it was basically, he was trying to be in the middle ground of gun control. But when you're in the middle ground of gun control, you are with Joe Biden. You are with the Democrats. And he's made several comments about how AR-15s are destroyed the body of these children. So some of these children, we only had DNA or we had their shoes to prove who they were. It seems to be in line with the Democrat discourse, and he's going to the White House, which is controlled by a Democrat president. Of course, he extended the olive branch and he tried to develop a middle position that a Republican could listen to this 20-minute speech, and there wasn't anything, and he was talking a lot about the Second Amendment and how we have to preserve it. But the problem is, when it boils down to it, if you talk about responsible gun ownership, it's either going to be voluntary and it's not going to cover the shooters. Because you can have a society that pushes responsible gun ownership. The person who becomes a shooter wants to hurt society, okay? So no matter what you do, the only thing that can control this is some kind of pre-crime intervention. And it's always going to end up hurting the rights of people who actually weren't to become shooter. So there's really no way around it. Either you violate some people's Second Amendment right, or you don't. And I think in both cases, you still have school shootings. The third option would be secure schools. How about we don't violate the rights of anyone and we let the shooters acquire their gun, but we're there to protect when needed? That is not something that was very present in Matthew McConaughey. He was rather talking about controlling who gets guns, and that means some kind of oppressive system. Silver Spider sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, "Hey JF, will we humans ever be able to separate morality from society? They are so intertwined that people will be controlled and die for beliefs they don't even realize they are programmed with. It's no wonder why people think morality is objective, and it might as well be because of this." Yeah, well, you can't separate morality and society because the subject of morality is precisely social in nature. The reason murder is wrong is you have to have two people for murder to be wrong. You have to have someone who kills someone else. If it was just single individual decision making, there wouldn't even be a place for a moral discussion, because by nature, a moral discussion is about one person trying to influence the behavior of another person, and you already have a society here. So I wouldn't present it. I'm not sure you imply this, but the way you phrase your super chat, it seems like you may be suggesting that it's an error to tie morality to society. It is not, because society is morality. From everything, from cultural influences, from your grandparents to teachers teaching you how to recycle stuff, to police trying to get you not to murder or trying to catch you after you've committed a murder. All of this is both morality and society, because it's the same thing. Morality and society are the same thing. Yeah. So, but then you say at the end of your super chat, it's no wonder why people think morality is objective, and it might as well be because of this. Yes. The thing is, people have such a social way to interact with the truth. You have to be kind of autistic to reach your own conclusions in today's world. Most people will never have made a single experiment in their life, not a formal one at least, and they are trained and they have evolved to just trust whoever are the authoritative voices of their tribes and nations. That's how they learn about science, and that's also how they learn about morality. So for the average person, which is probably more than 99% of the world, introspection and self-critical thought and internal dialogue is probably not a big way to interact with reality. They interact with reality by trusting the word of someone else. And when you think about what schools are, it's all there is. Trusting the word of the teacher. So for them, for this 99% people, they won't care about whether moral nihilism is true or not, because for them, even the true objective truths of science are obtained by trusting other people. And so let alone the moral truths of religion and philosophy, they don't care. It comes to their brain in the very same way the truths of science come, which is trust the guy with a bizarre robe. Rodita Sid says, here's a law that could have been a bipartisan agreement. Let's pass a law that says, if you are a Democrat, you can't own a gun. That would mean 50% of the population wouldn't own guns, and it would reduce gun violence by 50%. Who could be against that? It would move the needle little by little. Yeah. Yeah. Why not? I mean, I've thought about this in the past for a totally different subject, but I've thought about this in the context of how women are voting differently from men. And at this point, we've reached a point where the democratic system has been so driven in a certain direction by women that there are some laws that are breaking our balls, you know? So how about we do this? I thought, what if women had their government, they can vote for it, and they can pass any laws, but it will only apply to women? I'm not seriously suggesting this, but I'm think about the thought experiment here. Think of it as a thought experiment. And the rule is that the woman government doesn't get to tax men and doesn't get to apply laws unto men. Now think about what this kind of segregated government would look like. I mean, you can give welfare if you want, but with your woman money. And think about it, then you could think, well, okay, in that system, you might have some further minorities that are oppressed. Perhaps some Native Americans want to get together, some blacks want to get together. And they say, we don't like either the government of men and the government of women. We want a government of Native Americans and a government of black people. And it's like, okay. Now, you can't tax the black person, you can't tax the Native American, and you can't tax the men. And when you think about it, you could do that infinitely down to the individual. And an ideal society is actually one in which this is all shuffled down to the individual. And that society is a capitalist small state society or no state at all. As long as the state is there, it implements this conflict of collectivism. And it ends up that some minority is going to be oppressed by some majority. That's how I transfer from, well, if you're about decentralized, because there's lots of communists out there that are anarcho-communist, and they ultimately dream of communism where some communes are democratically managed by the people, but in a local way. And they think somehow this avoids the problem of communism. And I'm like, the more you fragment, the more you attain what capitalism is, which is, well, I own my money, you own yours, you can do whatever you want with your money, I can do whatever I want with my money. That's a nice thought experiment to bring a brain from the place of communism to the place of individual liberty. Shocking consumer credit numbers. Everyone is maxing out their credit card ahead of the recession. This won't look good. If you have debts on credit card, I highly suggest you work very hard to fix it in the next few months, because once we enter the recession in full swing, money will be rare. You might have bumps along the way. If you're a self-employed person, you might get less contracts. There will be less economic activity across the spectrum. And that will include less super chats for me, for example. So it's really not the right moment to have credit card debt. Pay it as much as you can. If you can enter this recession with $0 in debt and some assets that help you survive, you're in a good situation. You may not even feel it. Society of Order says, Jeff, markets naturally form cartels. This was a missed lesson from Adam Smith. You can't get away from government, but there are ways to prevent its subversion. I kind of recognize this in the sense that I am for a minarchy. I am for a small government, but I want the job of this government to be a single job. Ensure that there is no violation of consent in society. When you think about it, it covers a lot of things. It covers criminality, because a crime is a criminal victimizing someone who doesn't consent to the rape or doesn't consent to the murder or to the assault. It covers fraudulent strategies in business, so the government can legislate on this, but it is not the job of the government to redistribute wealth. If we're agreeing on this, I'm fine with your claim about cartels. Silver Spider. So basically I say, let us form a cartel whose job is to prevent any other cartels from rising. That would be the perfect governmental description for me. Lapitop says, how do you prevent it from growing though? You impose a serious threshold above which the government cannot grow. So you say the government cannot be bigger than 3% of the economy. And I don't care if that means some house is not going to get fireman service. You have to cut somewhere. When you grow to 3% of the economy, there's a judge that comes in and just fires people randomly. Like, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired, until we reach back to 3%. That's what I think. A constitutional amendment that just sets it. And there's no way around. There's no, oh, well, we have to argue. No. The constitutional amendment says, I don't care if your mother is dying and your child is breathing cholera. I don't give a shit. The government stops at 3%. How's that? Velociraptor says, Jeff, I really appreciated the end of the show yesterday where you talked about your aunt not letting you mash the potatoes. As a child, my parents never encouraged me to make mistakes, and the cost is tremendous. Insecurity, a lesser bond with them, and more such damage. Thank you for the donation, Velociraptor, and I fully agree. It's so easy. Because really, the job of parenting gets so much easier when you accept to let your child do some stuff, even if they do it imperfectly. You know, when you look at a child mashing the potatoes, what's the worst cost to it? The potatoes will not be good. Doesn't matter. Just eat the potatoes however they've been mashed. Even if the potatoes are imperfectly mashed, that's a small cost in your life to ruin compared to, well, you created an opportunity where your child feels involved in your life. They've had fun. They've learned. And if a mistake was made in the mashing, I mean, they're just going to get better at mashing potatoes. And on top of it, you got a free service. So instead of running around and, oh, I have to produce formula and, oh, I have to do this and, oh, I have to change the diaper and, oh, I have to mash the potatoes. Well, there you go. There, you've got something done for zero energy at your own cost. And you created an opportunity for learning. There's just no calculation under which you wouldn't let the child mash the potatoes. Even if you have a big dinner and you got guests, yeah, let the child mash the potatoes. The guest will have to tolerate eating imperfect potatoes. And you can just tell them, look, you're by accepting to eat those imperfectly mashed potatoes, you have helped my child become a better masher. Silver Spider says, I told my wife that story about the mashed potatoes 8 weeks left in the pregnancy. My son will be allowed to mash the potatoes when he is old enough. That is quite moving. The idea that I have stopped the cycle of violence by telling that story. But when you think about it, perhaps I wouldn't be who I am if I hadn't been kept from mashing the potatoes, you know? Perhaps this kind of adversity of injustice has created this kind of, all right, I don't care, I'm a psychopath, I'm on a mission, I'm gonna create a world where young people can mash the potatoes. Perhaps I wouldn't have been as extravagant in my pursuit of societal change and of societal commentary if it wasn't of that. Silver Spider says, JF, you said it before, communists just want to steal, and when you point out what you're offering them and they say no, that's proof they just want to steal. Yes. Yes. Dino Legovic says, grow your potatoes and mash them however you want, JF. I'm doing that today. I've been working on installing the raised bed. The raised bed is getting nice. I have my last seedlings, semi, that I'm ready, all of the herbs and spices, I'm ready to plant them in the raised bed now. I have my automated watering in the second section of the greenhouse. I have some new soaker hoses for the potato field. It's going to be awesome. It's all going to be automated this year. Society of Order says, Jeff, there's a lot to consider about ideal government. For instance, just one aspect, it has to be stable against both internal and external takeover. Some natural monopolies are much more efficient, roads, utilities, so much to consider. I wrote almost a book about it in 2012. Well, feel free to send me an email if you want to reveal to me the title of your book. I might read it. Sounds interesting. By the way, the person who was requesting that I debate Taylor on Modern Day Debate, we're working on it. We're trying to make it happen. It might happen. I cannot confirm that it will happen, but we're working on it, and it's going to be interesting. Apparently a gut believer, if I understand correctly, but also a microbiologist that she is. Unknown Californian sends $10. My God, people are generous tonight. Are we in a recession, really, or are we not? Because you guys are being generous like we're not. Unknown Californian says, keep up the great work, Papa JF. I hope you're doing well and ready to have a good summer. I've learned so much from the gardening experience of 2 years now. It's my third year. I've tested the system. I tried super watering. I tried not watering at all. I tried trusting the rain. I tried what happens. And now I know where I'm headed. And I'm automatizing everything that I've learned into a gigantic central controller of garden watering, of caring for the herbs, how do we handle the weeds, all of it is going to be so nice. I think I'm going to have my most productive year this year. That's what I would predict based on how confident I enter this year with the knowledge of last year. Because there's also the question of I was starting the semis too early, and they were growing in small pots inside with my artificial light. And they were kind of reaching their ceiling, and then they were dying a little inside. And when I was taking them outside, they were in a shock. They had difficulty handling this kind of 2 weeks of non-growth at all because they were stuck in too small of a pot of soil. Now I've timed it perfectly. It's like I know that they were growing, 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 and then I'm getting them outside immediately. Just that says the psychiatry slash psychology industry thrives due to the fucked up nature of humanity passing down negative personality traits to their offspring. It only gets worse as time passes from my own experience of humanity. Yes, and that's an issue we should think about. I mean, we have so much on our shoulders that I basically don't have time to combat for solutions on this side, but you're absolutely correct. Like, bipolar disorder and borderline personality disorder have been selected. How do we create a society in which it doesn't get selected? How do we create a society where you don't need to be an insane fucking bitch to survive? That is an intellectual question worth pursuing. But we are stuck with such insane problems and such growth of leftism that actually this very important question has to be left on the side sometimes. It's like I'm not even beginning to imagine how do you create a society in which female abuse of men doesn't exist, where it's not rewarded. Good question. Excellent question. I guess you just punish it. I guess that society is the society of 100 years ago, where if you break your vows of marriage, you are rejected socially. I get and the vows of marriage includes caring and good, honorable behavior between the two partners. Philosoraptor says, if you can't enjoy watching a child mashing potatoes imperfectly, I truly pity your inability of living in the moment. Yes. Washington Post op ed asks if it's time for black people to flee the country. It's amazing. This black intellectual is explaining that there's a lot of black people who are considering leaving the US because of what's the title of the Washington Post article is that they are surrounded by crazy white people. And they're talking about the shooters and all. The thing is, Let me reassure you, dear Jonathan Capehart. You most likely will not get killed by crazy white supremacists. Even with the media coverage that we get, and there's been a lot of shootings this year. Even with all this, you're still more likely to get killed by a black man. You could have an increase by tenfold of the current white supremacist shooting, and you still would be more likely to get killed by a black man. So no worries, Jonathan Capehart. You don't have to leave the US due to your scare of crazy white people. Most likely it won't happen to you. Mama JF says the psychiatry pills block the third eye. Mama JF was sharing this view with me. I was watching an old clip of Tom Cruise on mainstream TV. And he was really into it, and he was talking against psychiatry, and he was like, "I've done the research. It's crap. It's a crap history, and they don't know what they're doing, and they're hurting children, and they've done evil experiment." So Mama JF shared her belief that there is a third eye, and the psychiatric medications are meant to are blocking its activities. Society of Order says, Jeff, apart from designing an ideal society, the reaction to the current state of affairs would be to be offensive. Excuse the link, but I wrote about it a little bit here. Okay, well, thanks for the link. I'll consult it later. Mama JF is here. What's up?
It's true, Jeff. It's true. Me, I already see a psychiatrist again when I was very young because I was so depressed again.
Okay.
But anyway, and you know what they ask you in there? They ask you, do you do telepathy? They say, can you read people's mind? Do you think other people can read your mind? They don't want us to make telepathy. And if you say, yes, I do telepathy, but me, I didn't say that.
Well, wait a minute, because I
Yes.
think I just understood something. Did you have the impression that you have a third eye and that telepathy exists before answering this form that the psychiatrist gave you when you were young? Is it possible, in another way, that the psychiatrist introduced these ideas in your mind by asking you the question?
No.
No? Well, you were young, so what did you answer on the form to do you do telepathy?
But me, I don't do telepathy.
You don't
Le.
do telepathy.
I don't know why. I'm not like these people. Le.
Okay.
But I don't know why it doesn't work for me. But
okay
they ask you that. They ask that to everybody.
yeah it's no but I was thinking, if they ask it so often, they might end up convincing people that there is such a thing as telepathy. Like,
Yes,
if I look
yeah,
at the
why?
form, I'm like, they're trying to lie to me, they're trying to catch me, but what they're telling me is that telepathy exists.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like the first question they ask, like, my
Oh
God.
my God.
And if you say, yes, I can do telepathy, they give you pills.
Of
They
course,
don't
because they'll
want
assume that you're schizophrenic then.
Yes,
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
if they read, they don't want us to make telepathy. Like,
Really don't. I love how you experience it. I love how Mama JF presents it. She's like, and that's how that's and she I guess she received that form as a child, but that's how a child would receive it. So you ask me, am I doing telepathy? And if I answer yes, you give me pills. Well, that means those pills must be trying to block my capacity to do telepathy. I think it's a very rational process there. And it's true, perhaps the psychiatric profession is working in a way that would cause someone to be suspicious of these pills? And say, okay, well, all of the things that I've answered yes, that has caused me for you, that has caused you to give me this pill, then it means that you're trying to stop these things. Deadstar sends a super chat. He says, gun control won't ever fix America's lack of social cohesion brought about by the destruction of ethnic communities with the 65 Immigration Act and the Civil Rights Movement. Absolutely. Basically, in a society that isn't opened and free, and some of the freedoms that were removed from Americans is the right to do business with who they want, the right to associate with who they want. Then you have an eternal state of conflict within the nation, and I agree that gun laws wouldn't fix it. All right, guys, I have to go chill because in 1 hour from now there's the moral nihilism debate. I need to rest my voice to be sure that I don't cancel it this time, because last time I had to cancel this debate because I had a voice extinction. So just a quick review of the news before I close the show. A Las Vegas prostitute featured throughout Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop scored a $20,000 Paycheck Protection Program loan for having a female-owned sole proprietorship right after Joe Biden moved into the White House. Holy shit, she got the COVID protection for her prostitution business where she was fucking with Hunter Biden. The state was funding the hooker of Hunter Biden. Yes, I do want you to come over, but with the confidence that with me, it's not an either-or for who stays and who goes. Hey, babe, don't you need a pipe and core? She wrote. What the fuck, babe? Where are you? Baby, I am so sorry. I'm not trying to take advantage of you, but I spent all of the money that you got me on black. I went to Walmart to get needles, babe. So that's what your PPP loans have been funding. Needles at Walmart for black? What is black? She has spent money on black. I guess it's a term for a drug. I don't know. I'm not knowledgeable of this. Yes, yeah, so if people want the link to the debate here, I will put it right in the regular chat. This will be in 1 hour from now. CNN's Brian Stelter, Jim Acosta singled out as liberal host who could be ousted by the new regime. So apparently CNN is trying to redirect themselves through toward the center. And now Brian Stelter would have been too much of a, you know, how rabid of an anti-misinformation and pro-leftism he is. Perhaps he's not fitting the new image that CNN wants to give itself, which is more centrist. I would find it extremely funny if these guys got kicked out. I mean, can you imagine if they do like they did to Cuomo, some story about personal life or maybe some sex scandal? Can you imagine a sex scandal emerging about Brian Stelter? That would be awesome. Uranium stocks soar on report the US is seeking billions to end reliance on Russian enriched uranium. I know that there had been someone on the chat years ago who had said, JF, buy uranium. It's the right thing to buy. The demand for it is going to grow. And yeah, I think it should grow. I think we should build so much more nuclear reactors. It's absolute nonsense that we don't do it more. We should have 10 times more nuclear reactors than we currently have. So yes, I'm happy that it's increasing, that the demand is increasing. Nuclear has everything you want. emits less CO2. It doesn't burn stuff into the atmosphere, and you just have to feed it some radioactive substance. Dead Star says, JF, please bully Synth for being a cat boy during the debate. That wouldn't be very honorable. And I know that the people of the Crucible have many times insisted for the debate to not use personal attacks. And they have at times protected me from personal attacks. So I will not come there and start calling Synth a cat boy. Although you could argue, based on his looks, that he is basically the Nick Fuentes of communism. Washington Post column admits Dems will get blown out in midterms, but claims that's a good thing. Column declares Biden will look like Abraham Lincoln compared to crazy GOP if Republicans win midterm. So somehow they think, well, if Republicans win the midterms, they're going to be so unleashed and America will see them for who they are. I'm not sure that that's how it works. I think when you make a political win, it's because the other side was not satisfying to the people. All right, so people are informing me that black means black tar, a form of heroin popular in the Southwest and made in Mexico as opposed to China. White, which is popular on the East Coast, which comes from overseas. My God, you are informed about this stuff. You shouldn't. You shouldn't, because you shouldn't consume this. But perhaps you're just informed from an anthropological and documentary perspective. Finally, last news item, crypto's trial of the century. Ripple case could be decided over just a few words from former SEC official. So the Ripple lawyers are asking for all records related to what led a SEC official to make a speech in which he was announcing the lawsuit against them. And they suspect that in these notes we will find that there is more internal disagreement about designating XRP as a security, because in a way the SEC, by going to XRP, pointing it as a security, they've chosen who wins and who loses in the crypto market. And the argument on the SEC side is, we're not any more a security than what ETH does, which is they emit those tokens, they sell it, and then they use some of the money to fund their operations and to fund their network. So by the standard that the SEC tries to impose only on XRP and Odyssey, you know, with library credits, you could impose that on any crypto. And I think that's a good argument. I hope they win, because if they win, XRP will be freed. And this will also give much less weight to the legal suit against Library. And that would mean that my little stash of Library credits would probably start pumping. See you all in 50 minutes from now on the Crucible. I will be debating Synth on moral nihilism and maybe the death penalty. Bye-bye.